This is a Poets and Writers Page One author reading. To hear more, visit us at pw.org/multimedia or at soundcloud.com/poetsandwriters.
Ferns begin with spores instead of seeds. A spore is a single-celled reproductive unit capable of generating life on its own without sexual interaction. This is what distinguishes the fern from the non-fern. Trees, cacti, flowers, and vegetables require fruit and the lavish colors of flowers to attract birds, bats, and honeybees to reproduce. They are reliant on the community of other creatures to create a new generation. But ferns don't ascend into fervent color each spring. They don't rely on pollen to be carried from anther to pistil. They don't wrap a seed in fruit. Instead, they set golden dust to the wind, each microscopic speck, a potential new fern born over stretches of ocean and desert. Reproducing by spores has meant that ferns are often the first species to repopulate raised areas, carried terrific distances by breezes over land and sea. They make a home of catastrophe, hurricanes, forest fires, a fallen tree, their spores propagating easily on the freshly agitated soil. After the volcanic eruption of Mount St. Helens in 1980, for instance, the ashen, rocky outcrops were soon grown over by the tangled beginnings of ferns, their leaves unfurling like afternoon shadow. The spores of at least one species had crossed the Pacific Ocean from Japan. Until the invention of the microscope, the reproductive cycle of ferns was hidden from observation, which stoked wild speculation about magic that fern seeds were of another realm. While flowers and trees produced observable fruits and seeds, ferns had gold dust on the backs of their leaves. Pre-industrial Western culture spun fables about the lengths one had to go to collect fern seed and the glories one might experience upon doing so. One German fable tells of a hunter who shot at the sun overhead on midsummer day. Drops of blood dripped from the sky. Collected into a handkerchief, the blood quickly dried into fern seed. The seeds allowed the hunter to harness the powers of the occult, to find gold or other treasures. Another story from Germany instructs fern seed collectors to forego church, prayers, and holy water in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Then, between the hours of 11 o'clock and midnight on Christmas Eve, at the crossing of two roads where bodies have been carried on their way to burial, a procession of their beloved dead arrive. The fern collector must remain silent or die. Eventually, the devil passes, the last figure in the ghostly procession, and delivers the fern seed. Worn on the body, the seed grants the strength of 30 men, wealth, and power. In keeping with the German stories, Victorian fern enthusiasts believe that placing fern seeds in one's pocket called forth a veil of invisibility. The process by then had become much easier than withstanding the devil's unsparing trials. One simply had to carry 12 pewter plates into the forest and stack them under the leaves of bracken on the eve of Midsummer Day. At midnight, it was said, the fern would briefly exhibit blue flowers from which its seed would tumble, slipping through the metal of 11 plates before collecting on the 12th. But why would anyone ever want to be invisible, I thought, as I learned of each of these fables. What is the fascination? I'd rather be rich. I'd rather be blonde and tall and unquestionably beautiful. I'd rather have breasts and an ass that everyone admires. I'd rather empty of my head of all that agonizes me. I'd rather remain ignorant of the shifting stories my parents tell, of the pain that sometimes lies dormant and sometimes erupts in my father. To desire invisibility is to know already what it is like to be seen, to see your disappearance as a lark rather than as inevitability or as necessity. I think of how ferns, so starkly different in their anatomy and reproduction and phylogeny, are indistinguishable from other plants. Their difference is invisible to unobservant eyes. Invisibility isn't the only form of disappearance, I think. You might also just learn the correct rituals, the right things to say, lie about your discomfort, omit the details just enough to come closer to what surrounds you. I already disappear, I think to myself. I can't help but disappear. I read the only text I can find or that I'm given. They tell stories of people who don't look like me, who aren't my ancestors, in a language that is foreign to my family and native to me. And so I am erased, first from the page, then from the room in which I'm reading, then from the world around me. I'm nowhere, I'm nothing, without needing to capture fern seed, without trying.